The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy
with Nissan
on News Talk.
A lot of people got in touch on that number yesterday, huge amount of people, when we spoke to Danny McConnell, who's the political editor of the Irish Examiner, and Alice Leahy from the Alice Leahy Trust, about the state of Dublin City's streets. Take a listen.
What I saw after the financial crash, you saw a rebirth of Dublin city centre. New bars, new restaurants, new cafes, everything opening up. And the city definitely cleaned up. That is all gone. You see hollowed out streets. You see pavements, as I said, are absolutely just manky. And what was really disappointing, Kieran, was that in 2020, when we were told to embrace outdoor living, you know, through COVID-19, you know, the system and the city were not able to cope with it. And the solution from Dublin City Council was not to put more resources on the street, but was to close public plazas, like closing off Portobello Plaza because they couldn't cope with the dirt on the, you know, in terms of the bins. That's just bonkers. And that legacy, I think, has continued. And what we're seeing is this kind of failure to just keep the city clean. Now, there's a personal responsibility on people not to leave the place messy and litter, but you know, something is not working in terms of the system.
Yeah, that was Danny McConnell, who was on the show yesterday. Alice Leahy from the Alice Leahy Trust, who's living in Dublin 60 years, was in complete agreement with him, and almost universal agreement as well on the text line that something needs to be done. Joining me now is Alison Gilliland, the former Lord Mayor of Dublin, and Hazel Chu, of course, a former Lord Mayor as well. You're both very welcome to the show. Hazel, do you agree, first and foremost, not that there are grimy parts of the city, there are always going to be in a city the size of Dublin, with a population as kind of diverse as Dublin's, you're going to have grotty parts of any city that size. But I suppose the contention of Danny and Alice and others was that it's grottier now than it has been in their memory.
I think it has been. I think Danny's right and Alice is spot on as well. I think what we've noticed coming out, and we're not totally out of things, but we have been slowly emerging from pandemic, is that the streets have gotten worse. Now, I know from working with council staff, they do work very hard and there is a schedule in place, but is it enough is the question. And we've noticed that in certain areas, it's better than others. And this comes down to a point I constantly raise in the last couple of years in council, is that there's postcode lottery going on as well in Dublin. So to Danny's point, he cycled, his piece was about cycling through Drumcondra down O'Connell Street and the various streets around and how they were a lot more grimy or manky, as he described it there. And then once you cross over to the south side, it's a bit better. So like what happens in certain parts of the city seems to be effectively getting worse and some areas are getting better. And there is that postcode lottery I think we need to change, and we need to make sure that you have a balance and equitable share across the city of making sure things are clean and welcoming and habitable.
Why do you think it's getting worse, though? Because that postcode lottery thing isn't new either.
No, it's not. And we can see it apply to numerous things, Kieran, before. I think, not to go on too much of a tangent, but in 2016, UCD Geography Department did a data analysis of the trees around the city. And what they found was that over in the south side, there was one tree for every 7.7 residents. And over in the north side, there was one tree for every 34 residents. So this postcode lottery, as I mentioned, isn't new. But why is it getting worse in recent years? It's a lack of resource, I think, in terms of the council, because of how things have happened during COVID, coming out of a pandemic, the resources have been changed around. Things had been tight, but also in terms of budget, because the management, the executive, will always say they are hamstrung by what resources they have in terms of financial resources. And time again, I know ourselves in the Greens, Labour, other parties have asked for an increase in a local, not increase, going back to the plus 15% of the property tax to make sure that there is a budget there for council to try to enact certain services. But time and time again, that's been voted down. So because we're at minus 15% in local property tax, it's not back to the ask of 0%. So if there's no budget there, the argument from council will be, or management will be, oh, we don't have the money. But I would like to make sure that that argument is negated, and then we're able to push them, well, you do have the money there, why aren't you doing things on various areas? Because if there is a lack of budget, it's very hard to enact certain things as well.
Alison Gilliland, I mentioned, is with us as well. Alison, do you suspect if the money was there, there might still be an issue, that this isn't just down to resources, it's down to priorities.
Yeah, I think this time last year, when there was a huge focus on outdoor dining and getting people back into the city centre, we really put an effort in. We had a director of city recovery, and I know I walked the streets with him, and we were very much focused on what we would call the general public realm of keeping it clean and keeping it attractive. Now, we had a bit of restructuring post-Christmas, and I do think we dropped the ball somewhat on the power washing and on just general waste. But my last conversation with Owen Keegan before I stepped down in June was on the presentation of commercial waste. And I know this was discussed yesterday, particularly the plastic bags and what happens with them with the seagulls. And I can assure you that is our intention, to severely restrict and minimise the time on the street of those plastic bags from about September. And I'm literally, after walking from Capel Street down to City Hall, I've been in town for most of the afternoon, and you can see those bags now being put out, but they won't be collected until tomorrow morning. So between sort of general footfall and seagulls, they could be all over the footpath and the road. And I think that really lends to that sense of those manky streets. We do have a very good power washing schedule in place. It's supplemented at times where there's particular spillages or if there's particular events.
But do
in the
we?
City.
I don't know. Alison, there'd be people listening to this thinking, hold on a minute, it doesn't look like from their experience that there's a very good power washing schedule in place. Some of the streets look like they've got weeks of filth caked on them.
I was just going to say, if you have those plastic bags being strewn across the footpaths because of the seagulls tearing them apart, regardless of your weekly or twice weekly power wash, that grime is going to be trodden into it, into the streets, particularly in streets of high footfall. So there is, we do have a plan. It is a priority. And I know Hazel spoke there about the resources. There has been a diversion and there will be a greater diversion of resources to it. I was very conscious of it throughout my Lord Mayor year. And I suppose I was sorry that we didn't get to grips with it before I stepped down. But I've been working in the background since with the chief executive to ensure that this does happen, because I think we can't really call on individuals to, I suppose, use the bins more. And it's only a tiny minority that don't use our bins unless we have our act together. To me, there is no excuse for putting your rubbish on the ground on our main streets, on O'Connell Street, Grafton Street, those high footfall streets, there's bins on them. But I do think in these side streets, we could extend our power washing to them. And I think that's something going forward that would make a change in the city.
Hazel, when it comes to the kind of seagulls then ripping those bags apart and causing all of this damage, you can deal with that one of two ways. You can kind of go with the cure approach or the prevention approach. And the cure is power washing it after the fact. The prevention is stopping it happening in the first place. And people are going to text in and suggest we start culling the seagulls. The other suggestion, I guess, would be that you don't leave bags out in such a way that seagulls can get at them. Have you a view as to what we should do?
It's funny, this was a common problem in New York when I lived there as well, was that it was rats rather than seagulls. And one of the key things the city did at the time in New York was to make sure that A, the waste was collected in a timely manner, but that the bags were actually in these containers. So kind of like wheelie bins, except larger versions that a number of businesses will put into. So I think that we need to start looking at different methods, Ciarán. And I think if we look at the city and how it's been operating, obviously in terms of the litter and waste from retail and from restaurants, that need to change. But it needs to be offered as a solution to these businesses, because again, a lot of these businesses have been suffering as well. So you can't add extra costs on them, but you need to provide them with a solution so that they can follow suit, and then the power washing can come come afterwards.
So,
the power washing should happen every night anyway, so regardless.
Yeah.
And it did during the pandemic. Even during the pandemic with lower footfall, there was high cleaning during those times because there was a fear of COVID. Afterwards, I know in Alison's term, there was that as well. So that needs to continue. That schedule needs to continue and needs to be kept up to pace, because there is a lot more people coming into the city, and we want people to come into the city, and yeah. the only way to do it is to make sure if it's not once, then twice a day.
And when the opportunity arises next, increase the property tax so the resources are there?
I do think that that needs to be a proper discussion. We have that conversation every year, and every year there's arguments of, well, you know, it will be unfair across the board. But what we calculated was that if you have a bigger property and a more, a property in a more affluent yeah. area, it will be actually more on you rather than on the lower end of the scale. And what it balances to become is more of a resource for the city to do these this maintenance.
Alison?
And a lot of people tend to be worried about that.
Alison, hike the property tax?
Yeah, like by reducing it by 15% every year, and I think Hazel's correct, my Labour Party, Social Democrats and Greens object to that, we lose 12 million. From the city's budget. And we can't afford to do that. We can't be speaking out of two sides of our mouths, complaining about whether it be litter management in the streets, lack of cycle lanes, if we're doing that. You know, it's very much, and I do think people want to see their money used for collective sustainable use in the city. And it's one of the big questions I always get, like, where is my local property tax going? And I think when you look at who pays local property tax, those who are most vulnerable, which would be our tenants in social housing, don't pay property tax.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not really hitting the most vulnerable in our city. And I think we all would agree that when you pool your money collectively, you can actually maximise the value that you get for it.
Alison Gilliland, former Lord Mayor of Dublin. Hazel Chu, who's a former Lord Mayor as well. Thank you both very much for joining me here on the show. Stay with us. After the break, we're going to be talking about the retirement of the greatest female athlete of all time.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With Nissan.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.